The whole world watched in fingernail-biting anxiety as construction crews tried to rescue little Jessica McClure. Do you remember? Back in cold October of 1987, the story of the little 18-month-old girl trapped down in a well in Midland, Texas, made headlines all around the globe. Little Jessica was lost in a certain kind of way. Everybody knew where she was. But for 12 hours, then 24 hours, 36 hours, 48, 58 agonizing hours, her parents just couldn't get to her. You know, sometimes that's the hardest kind of being lost for a parent to take. Now, throughout this series, we've been letting the words to Amazing Grace give us new insights into God's dealings with you and me. We've taken a hard, long look at a hard topic. These four words, I once was lost. And I know I took some comfort from realizing that later in the song, we would have four much greater words to give us hope. I once was lost, but now am found. As gut-wrenching as the word lost is, the word found is one of the most beautiful in the English language. I'm sure in every language around the world, the word for found is one of the sweetest. What a moment it is when the shouts go up from the rescue team, "We found her!" When the ski patrol finally comes across the lost victim up in the snow. When the helicopter finally plucks the last victim out of the freezing river. We found him. The lost is found. It feels so good to be found, doesn't it? To be safe in mom's arms again. To sit in the back seat of the car, wrapped in a blanket. And know that Dad is up front driving you to the safety of home, the warmth of your own bed. And especially when just an hour ago, you were lost. You were far away from home and from loved ones, facing loneliness and maybe even death. You were in the bottom of that well like little Jessica McClure. But now you're in your mother's arms again. Friend, the Bible speaks with unabashed enthusiasm about the joy of finding that which was lost. Do you remember how the good shepherd leaves the 99 sheep and he goes out to find that one lost sheep? And when he does find it, what happens? Well, he calls his friends and neighbors over, passes out refreshments and says to them, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep," Luke 15:6. We find the same thing in the parable of the lost coin, verse 9. Rejoice with me. That's especially true in the precious parable of the prodigal son. Day after day, the father is looking for him, while the bedraggled son is still a long ways off, verse 20 says, the Bible says, the father sees him and goes running to meet him. And then the celebration begins. Remember? Bring the best robe, kill the fatted calf, pull out all the stops, you servants. My son was dead and is now alive, lost, but now he's found. Look at verses 22 to 24. The bottom line of this little trio of stories comes in verse 7. I tell you, Jesus said to his disciples, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, you may want to say, Pastor Melashenko, that's parable talk. That's a lovely metaphor, rejoicing in heaven. But it's not real. It's not really a party in heaven over one person, especially over me. Friend, I beg to differ with you. This isn't simply sugar-coated poetic license or colorful metaphor-flavored literature. This is the truth. Friend, God knows you. He knows where you are right now. And his rejoicing is real at the very moment when you choose to be found. Now, right here's the crucial point. The beautiful nuance of amazing grace that maybe you have missed up until now. The third line reads this way. I once was lost, but now am found. Did you notice that? You didn't stumble back to civilization yourself. Someone found you. Someone came looking. Many of the lost and found stories we see on network television happened when the lost party, by his or her own heroic measures, they made it back to camp. Sometimes people talk about a kind of spiritual journey where they try to find themselves. Oh, but not here, friend. Here in Amazing Grace, we find a loving God who does the finding. You don't get yourself unlost. He comes and personally finds you. You know, part of this process of salvation, in addition to discovering that we really are wretches and that we really are lost, is coming to the realization that we can't rescue ourselves. We're lost. And we can't get home by ourselves. The road is blocked. The telephone lines are down. We can't get across the swollen river. By our own efforts, we're not just lost, we're hopelessly lost. We're doomed in our lost condition. But God comes looking. I once was lost, but now am found. Just as in the story of the prodigal son, the father is out looking for you. And while you're still a long way off, he sees you and comes running to you, to the rescue. Here's what God says in Ezekiel 34, verses 15 and 16. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. The much-loved 19th century Christian writer E.G. White penned these words in her classic book, The Desire of Ages. Every soul is as fully known to Jesus as if he were the only one for whom the Savior died. He knows you. Just as the shepherd knows his sheep, he knows you. He knows who you are and where you are. A few years ago, I filmed a TV series over in Israel, the Holy Land. It was called The Story Behind the Story. The producer for one particular show intentionally filmed me right near Bethlehem, where David tended his sheep, and placed me right in the middle of a flock of sheep with their shepherd. Now, I never realized how intimate a full-time shepherd gets with his sheep. He knows them because he lives with them, and he calls each one of them by name, and they listen to him. And they follow him. So there I was, jammed in the middle of this flock of sheep. And do you know what? He called a couple of them by name. And they knew his voice. And they came to him. I was absolutely amazed. Listen. Jesus, the heavenly shepherd, came here and lived with us. He knows each of us by name. if you're lost, he knows it. And he's on his way to rescue you right now, individually. You may have been lost, but you can be found right now. My good pastor friend Morris Vendon wrote a book entitled, Hard to be Lost, Hard to be Lost. It's hard to be lost, he suggests, when God is looking so hard for you. It's hard to be lost when so many people are praying for you. It's hard to be lost when all the armies of heaven have devoted themselves to this one rescue, yours. Evangelist Harmon Brownlow, another friend of mine, used to say it this way, God is doing so much for us. Heaven and angels and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, they're doing so much for us that a person has to choose not to be saved. Friend, that's good news. That's the gospel. Have you ever played the board game Sorry? Now, your four little green men or blue men are out there on the board, vulnerable and lost. Even when you get them into your own row marked safety, well, sometimes you still lose them. You get a backward four card number and have to back out into the alleyway of danger. But finally comes that sweet moment when you take them all the way to home. Safely, home. Now, no one can take them out of that haven. No one can take them and say, sorry. Mm-mm. When you're home, everything is safe and secure. Right now, you can go home. Not alone. No one can make it home alone. But because of the amazing grace displayed at Calvary, and because we have a good shepherd and a loving father who have formed a rescue party, home is very near. In fact, it's just around the corner. It's right up ahead. And the rescue team is running towards you.